Welcome to the Next M podcast. Tech at heart, ignition in mind.
Hello, welcome to the Next M podcast. My name is Lars Peters and I'm here with Elena Cochero. She is futurist at Unruly and used to be a former TED speaker and MIT Media Lab researcher. Hello, Elena.
Hello.
You are an expert on connected devices, connected home. And I would like to know what was the last device that you personally were dealing with this morning when you left the home?
Oh, I see. Well, I guess in my own home, actually, I do not have all of the devices you will imagine. We do have them at the Unruly Future Home. And if I was there, the last device will be the smart lock for the door. But in my home, one of my favorite pieces is the smart plugs. Because the smart plugs, okay, they don't have much functionality, just like on and off. But then you can turn into a smart device, whatever you plug into it. So that used to be the last thing that I double check from my phone directly. And I don't even need to be directly in the home when I check it, but I check that my smart plugs are off.
And what kind of devices do we have connected to those smart plugs?
So, well, right now is the extra heater.
Okay.
But obviously you can just have anything. But the most common thing is that people will have their lights, so that then via voice you can turn on and off your lights or put timers and things like this.
Is there any device that you now have connected to one of those plugs that you are particularly happy about, so that really changed your life or made it much more easy or simple?
I'll give two examples, but one of my favorites, and I hope, I think not yet enough people are taking advantage of this, but I hope it grows fast. It's what's called NLP or NLU, which is natural language processing or natural language understanding. Today is just so good. I have to say I'm very impressed myself. And just the fact that I can be getting ready in the morning, very busy, getting dressed and doing lots of things, and I can just know everything I need for the day just via voice.
And is that also the device that you would expect to be the one that makes it to the most homes now, or that is like really the killer application, as things like those are called, so that it really makes people aware of what kinds of opportunities there are?
The thing is, it's so broad that I think it's brands who has to make more videos that show this kind of behavior to kind of educate the consumer, because you can do anything via voice. And imagine how often you need to be hands-free, or imagine other markets such as, you know, the elderly market. It's just so intuitive, from kids to elderly, so intuitive to just use voice to get things done. So, for me, that is truly the game changer, that now finally we have reached a level where you can be understood by a machine. And this happens also in many, many languages right now.
So do you see any differences in different countries where this technology or connected homes are more successful than in other countries so far?
Well, I think we are not everyone is looking enough at what's happening in China. So definitely it's growing much, much faster in China. Yeah. And then we see the growth of voice adoption in the US, UK after that, and the rest of Europe after that.
So Germany is quite in a good field here?
I think, well, the interesting thing in Germany is that it's very high technologically and industry-wise, but obviously the whole idea of surveillance and data is keeping things, it's slowing down in terms of the growth of pace. I think that is in a way smart to be cautious, but at the same time, it's like, what's the balance between progress and everything that's happening with data?
You mentioned that you at Unruly have like this future home at home.
Yes.
So is there any device or any technology that you are surprised about what is possible nowadays? So is there anything that we can really look forward to as normal consumers? What's going to happen soon?
Well, the best way I explain what happens in the home is actually, imagine you are in a classical Disney movie where everything is alive. The teapot has a personality and it's alive and it speaks to the chair and it speaks. So the idea that everything is self-aware, I think it's what's interesting. So the dishwasher reorders its own tablets. It knows if it's about to break. the bed tells the coffee machine that I have woken up and it should make my coffee and open the curtains. I mean, it's just crazy.
And this works already today.
Yes.
In
yes.
Europe.
Yeah, yeah, that's how we have the home set up. And yes, it's just many brands. What's interesting is that we now see, and I foresee in the future, more and more collaborations between brands. Mm-hmm. Maybe not directly through them, but there is, we're going to need more of this kind of general platforms where you can link all of your devices together. So we use a lot a platform called If This Then That, IFTTT. And it's crazy because you don't need to know any programming to connect your, to link your devices with each other and automate your entire home and make dependencies between each other, just with text, just by typing your commands without knowing any programming.
So when people are checking out this new technology in your home, what are their reaction? Are they surprised? Are they happy? Are they scared?
Well, okay, different things there, but yeah, all of them in one, in a way. First, they are surprised because we call it the home of the future, and actually we realize it's the home of the future now. So I think the shock comes, especially with some brands sometimes, when they realize that this is now. So it's just that adoption is not must yet, but it's possible now. And it's not the technology what's not ready, it's more us sociologically who are not ready. And yeah, brands get surprised about this and sometimes, yeah, a little bit anxious of like, oh, wait a minute, I need to talk to my team. What are we doing about this? So there's that kind of level, a little bit of anxiety there.
If the industry has to show the consumers what opportunities there are and they have to explain it or exploit themselves also, what does it mean for retailers? You mentioned before that the washing machine will order its powder on its own. How will the buying process change? What will it make to us customers?
Mm-hmm. So there's a few things. The Internet of Things, obviously, there is how much people will adapt this in their cars and in their homes. But then there is how much actually retail spaces can use these technologies for themselves. And we see, for example, a huge growth in smart mirrors. And there is stores now where you try your lipstick in a smart mm-hmm. mirror. It's more hygienic and so on. So there is many, many advantages of doing that. But this is moving to the home. So what we have realized is that there is actually kind of three key points that a retail space needs to make sure it has to stand out. And what you have to think is, what can I provide that cannot be provided through any of these technologies? And one of the key things is local relevance. We see more and more that even in franchises, each specific store will have a relevance to the community that is interested on that. Mm-hmm. And you can use data to understand what people want around your community and create that kind of experiences. Then also be more experiential, because that's what we are missing when we are online too much. We don't have this kind of physicality and experience. And then the educational part. So there is only so much you can learn about a product or a brand online via search or videos and so on. But you want to go to a space where you can learn and bond with other people.
And this this won't be possible to have it with a smart mirror or anything, so that you have like the feeling at home already right away. So therefore you need still a store to go to.
Yes, yes. We will still, it's just that stores are going to be more like museums or fun fairs or schools. You know, it's kind of a merge between, you know, you go there because it's like a gallery. It's a fun place to go and you learn something and you share this with your community and friends.
So we will still have some pedestrian areas in 10 years' time.
Yes, I very much hope so. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why cities, I mean, right now with the technologies we have, you could be living in an island. I'm from an island and I think this many times. I'm like, I'm in London, such a hectic city. I could be in the beach, working from the beach. Why am I still here? And it's because cities are still relevant. We still want to be part of these communities and have all the buzz around us. So that's not going to disappear. We might have no parking spaces anymore in the streets because of smart cars. So that might make pedestrian areas even nicer. So
Okay, so something to look forward to, and then you can have like the mixed shopping experience. Some goods which are maybe not that nice to shop or to buy, you can just order them, or probably the machines will do it for you. And then something that you really like or would learn more about, you go to the stores and experience them. Is that kind of what we can do then?
Yeah, there will be the routinary things will be separated from the more experiential.
You mentioned the cars also, that we're going to have smart cars and connected cars. You are also an expert on that issue, which is closely connected, obviously, to
smart cities.
So how connected will cars be, or will the smart car, the autonomic driving, when do you see that? When will it happen? Will it happen in China first or where?
Probably. Well, actually, you need to consider so much to really get autonomous cars out there in cities working properly. The first thing is to know that that's not going to happen fully yet at all. So in the meantime, for example, using voice, we say many times that the car is going to be the driver of voice adoption. So right now, if you use a voice assistant, it's because you want it. You might not feel the need completely. But if you are in your car for safety reasons, you might feel more need to use a voice assistant. And then when you get used to that, you will miss it when you're not in the car to have this voice PA. Everybody, another fact is that everybody, independent on their disposable income, is going to soon have a 24/7 PA. What does that mean for your consumer lifestyle? It's going to change dramatically. But then eventually we will have the autonomous car, and then that barrier is not needed anymore. But by then people will be used to have a digital PA. But at the moment, for necessity, we think that the digital PA is going to catch up with car adoption.
Okay. So is there anything that might stop this development towards the autonomous driving, or that makes it more difficult to develop or to come on the market?
Legislation, obviously, always coming a little bit behind. Right now, I think we are at level 3, which is cars can drive only at up to 60 kilometers an hour. They can do self-parking and so on, and you can be in a highway doing self-driving, but you wouldn't be doing that in the middle of the city. So legislation on one side. And another thing is you have to think, well, 5G is not yet here. Obviously, it's coming. 5G will help a lot for smart cities, data transfer. But then when you're really worried about data sharing, you have to understand that if you don't do data sharing, how are you going to have the cars rolling around? If it just takes one car owner to not want to share the data for the rest of the cars to not be able to drive around it. So how are you going to do this? Then controlling borders, for example. I actually imagine being from an island that islands might be most likely to have control on a smart car adoption because it's a closed island than an open space.
But would that mean that there should be like one set date when all the cars have to be changed into like smart cars, so that we have to stop driving ourselves, or we all have to open our data on one day from one day to the next to be able to have this technology at all?
Yeah, or how this data is encrypted to make sure that no one is worried and so on. But especially it's because you need the leaders and all, you need a lot of high technology for the car to be aware of its surroundings. So do you have to buy a brand new car, or do you have to buy all the attachments that you attach to your car? Who installs them? How do we make sure they're up to date? So there is a lot to think about before we wake up one day and everything is, driverless around us.
Yeah. So what do you see? What kind of time span do we expect this to take?
It's very hard to predict, because we also have now the company Lyft and Uber that are going to go public. So, why will you invest in having a smart car when you can just get one of these services anytime and just get an Uber whenever you need it.
And all of this development and technology probably is not for free, but someone will have to pay for it also to develop it. So it will take some money to do that. Does that mean that only those huge companies which are already around will be the ones who can afford this development? Will those small players all disappear from the market and we are going to have like a huge concentration economy-wise? Or is there any chance for other businesses as well?
We see already, right, when Amazon started doing the smart speakers, no one expected it. It came out of nowhere, really. So I think there will be disruptors. There will be disruptors. The bigger the companies, the harder it is to move them. We know that, although these big companies are very agile. But I think one of the things stopping them is that they cannot talk to each other. So you wouldn't see Amazon sharing the data with Google, for example. But we might need this in order to smart cities truly to happen. And in order for the consumer truly get the advantage of things, you're going to need platforms that allow all of these things to connect together. And maybe those brand agnostic platforms are going to be stronger at some point. So I think there will be disruptors. But in terms of the cost, I actually think that more and more people are going to realize that they should be paid for the data. So right now you buy an expensive device because it gives you a service, but you also give them your data. It's like you're paying twice. Kind of, yeah. It's like I'm paying twice, more than twice, but you know, I'm paying a lot to get this service. Something is wrong here. Like the device should be given for free do I exchange my data so that I don't get advertising, for example? So these are things that obviously brands are really wondering what's going to happen. So it might come a point where your data is a token, kind of all the ideas of blockchain and all of this. And then if you have ownership of your data, then that the implications are huge in terms of cost or in terms of even loyalty with the providers. So right now I might have loyalty with a specific technology company because they know me so well by now. Yeah. You know, the AI knows me so well by now. Why will I change? You know, for example, if Facebook was to close down, so many people would be like, oh my God, I have my life there. What am I going to do? But the minute you own that data, you're like, it doesn't matter. I just transfer it to whoever gives me a better service. So there will be more competition, I think, there.
What does all this change in technology, what will it do to advertisers? What will it do to brand communication? I don't know. What do those companies will have to do to still be that people are aware of the brands, to pop up, to be going through a pedestrian zone in a smart city? Which brands will be there? Those that we are used to today, will there be new ones? How to do any communication then?
I think it's going to be, well, in a way, as I mentioned before, many more collaborations. I mean, we're going to have shoppable movies soon. So, you know, what happens to advertising when you can just watch a movie and say, oh, I want to book that restaurant. I want to buy that jacket. I want to try that wine. I mean, directly from a movie, for example. So that's going to change a lot. But I think, and that's something that we specialize on in Unruly, is emotional intelligence is going to be key. People have emotional attachments with brands and products. We are emotional beings, and no matter how much AI we put around us, we are emotional beings. We already have research that shows that when you're asking advice to an AI, if it's something that is not super important for you, you don't mind it. But if it's something very important for you, you want to make sure that there is a person behind the response that you're going to get. Maybe it's served to you via an AI, but you're not an expert has making that decision for you. So Yeah, as humans, we trust humans.
And we still may stay or be humans even in the future, even though if technology takes over, we will still be there. Thank you very much for those insights, Elena Cochero.